Good afternoon, brethren. Pleasure to see everybody. Small hall makes it look like it's a big congregation. That's a psychological boost, I guess. I just want to remind everybody and follow up with what Wayne said about the anniversary that we're having, that we'd really like to have everybody there. What our celebration is about is God coming to our area and inviting so many people to church and allowing so many people to learn about Him. And we'd like to have that celebration with as many of you as can possibly make it, because you're part of the family and we love you. And the more we can be together and the more we can spend time with each other, the better we can serve God, the better we learn about God, and the closer bonds we make with each other, which we're all going to need when things get difficult in the world around us, which is already beginning to happen. So we got that done. The title of my message today is God's Promises Give Us Hope. I got this message from a sermon that Mr. Luker gave on July 10th, 2010, and he called his sermon God's Great Promises. So if you'd like to hear that, you're certainly welcome to get that online from our church website. We have now, brethren, finished the spring holidays. The spring holidays are now behind us for another year. And, of course, the spring holidays conclude with Pentecost, representing God's Spirit coming to us, representing our opportunity, brethren, to get to know God in a very special way through His Spirit. That promise was given to us in Joel 2:28. I'm not going to turn to that scripture, but that's where the Helper was promised to all of us. What does God's Holy Spirit do for us? Well, let's turn to Romans 8 to find out. I'm going to just list some simple things that God's Spirit does for us. Romans 8, verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if, indeed, the Spirit dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And in verse 14, it makes it even plainer. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So the Holy Spirit gives us a very special relationship with God. It makes us Christians. And isn't that something that's very rare in this world today? To be a follower of Christ, a true follower, that is obeying God, following Him, pleasing Him in all that we do. Turn with me to Acts 1. We'll see another point on things the Spirit does for us. Acts 1 and verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So the Holy Spirit gives us power. Power to obey God. Power to be a light to the world. Power to serve. Power to bond with each other. Power to please God. Very few are able to do that today. But we have that tremendous opportunity. Romans 8, verse 14 is another point we get from the Spirit. In verse 14 it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The Holy Spirit leads us if we submit to the Spirit, if we humble ourselves before the Spirit, before God Almighty. And the Spirit will then enable us to follow God. 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. So the Spirit also gives us a sound mind. So we see that we need God's Spirit in a very special way. In that same verse, it also gives us another gift that we get from the Spirit, love, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. 3 points that are critical to us as God's children. God has blessed us with so many, many, many promises. And He does so much for us, brethren, on a daily, hourly basis. Today I'm going to discuss a few of those promises with you and talk about how they affect us as Christians. So the purpose of this message, the SPS, is the Holy Spirit makes it possible for us to live God's promises. The Holy Spirit makes it possible for us to live God's promises. As we all know, God's Spirit is God's power and God's will. It is not a person. It is not an entity. We do not pray to it. It's God's power, God's will. And as such, He gives it freely to His children so that we can have a relationship. He lives in a different dimension. God and Jesus Christ are in heaven, and they are spirit. We are flesh and of the earth. How does physical communicate with spiritual? How does spiritual communicate with physical? God has chosen to use His Spirit for that purpose. Mr. Armstrong once said that God's Spirit can be described, or it's how we communicate and how God communicates with us is similar to a radio wave. And when we're attuned to God's wavelength through repentance, through baptism, then God allows us to be able to receive the Spirit. He allows us to be able to have that power so that we can live a life that glorifies Him, and so we can have a means to be in touch with Him, to be able to talk with Him, to be able to share our life with Him, and He does the same with us. So the first promise, God will always love us unconditionally. God does not withdraw His love, but always loves us unconditionally. That does not mean that He will not separate Himself from us if we sin and if we walk away from Him. But He still loves us. Just like sometimes punishment for a child is to send them to their room. Because you sent them to the room doesn't mean you don't love them. That means you're trying to teach them a lesson. And it's the same with God. He will never, ever stop loving us. His love is unconditional. Turn with me to 1 John 4, verse 8. 1 John 4, verse 8. For me in my life, that is just an incredible promise because I've always been insecure about the love of others. I've always been insecure that people would stop loving me, stop caring for me. And this, to me, is something I hang on to in a very special way because I believe it. God has proven it to me. And I know He doesn't lie. People do lie. I've had people tell me they would help me and don't show up. I've had people tell me they love me and then say mean things about me. I've had people walk out of my life. God will never do that. God will never, ever, ever leave us. He can't because He loves us. We're His children. Whether it be wayward or loyal, whether we be faithful or weak, whether we be right or wrong, the love is unconditional and forever. And to me, that is very, very beautiful. Verse 8 in 1 John 4. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. You know, we can't say that about humanity. You would never describe humanity by saying humanity is love. But it fits God perfectly. You know, when God created and made the creation, He didn't make it saying to Himself, I want to make humans to worship me. I want to create a family to spend time with me. God said, I want to create mankind that they can share in my glory. I want to give them my glory. I want to give them my love. He didn't do it to get something. He did it because His life is so fantastic, so full of joy, so full of peace, so full of success, so full of everything that is important to us, that He wants to share it with us. He wants us to have what He has, to the point where He gives everything to us. There is nothing He won't give to us if it's good for us. Let's read verse 10. Well, why don't we read verse 9 too while we're at it. In this, the love of God was manifest to us. So listen to this important statement. It's telling us how God shows His love to us. That God sent His only begotten Son into this world that we might live through Him. What does that mean, that we might live through Him? How do you do that? Through God's Spirit. God fills us with His Spirit that enables us to think like God, that enables us, empowers us to live God's way. That makes it possible for us to overcome our human nature, our selfishness, our inward-looking attitudes, and to jettison all that and let in God's love, God's happiness, and to share it with all those around us, which is what God is really after. Because He knows we'll be happier, we'll have more joy, we'll have more accomplishment, we'll feel better about ourselves if we give of ourselves to others. Isn't that what He told us? Didn't He tell us He wants us to be a living sacrifice? That we sacrifice ourselves for others? That we give of what we have, of what we are, and share it with those who don't have it, so that we can all be blessed through God, through God's power, through God's love. And He loved us so much. I don't think we can comprehend this. I've spent a lot of time thinking about it, and I know I'm nowhere near understanding it completely yet. What a sacrifice it was that He blessed us with His eternal partner in the form of Jesus Christ, who became His Son. But He gave up to share Christ with us. Christ had to come to earth to show us how to live. There's lots of reasons He came to earth, but that's one small one. Verse 10. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. What does that mean, propitiation? Propitiation means the removal of wrath by the offering of a gift. It refers to action or an object used to make peace or repair a breach between two parties. I got that from the article that we have on the, I didn't write it down, I'm sorry, I should have wrote it down, I meant to and I forgot. But that was from one of our articles also. What a beautiful thing. The offering of a gift to remove wrath, to remove sin, to remove the penalty of death. An object used to make peace or to repair a breach between two parties. God thinks of everything, brethren. His love is unconditional. It'll never stop. He tells us to love each other just as God and Christ love us. That's a tall order. It's a tall order. Do you want to do it? Do you see a reason to do it? Because it takes sacrifice. It takes pain. It takes giving up. It takes giving away. For what? See, that's the way we think. So what's in it for me? God doesn't think that way. And we have to learn to think like God. We don't have to think like we've thought in the past. Where did it get us? Death. God has a better way. Verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we should also love one another. There's the command. He doesn't ask us to do anything that they aren't willing to do for us. He wants us to love each other as He loves us. Why? Because that is the source of joy. That is a source to being God. It's a way, brethren, to live just like God lives. For us to come together as His children, to walk away from our past, and to give to each other anything we can. Everything we can. Because that's what God does. And He wants us so much to be like Him. To think like Him. To forget about self. And to give to each other. To draw each other together. To learn about each other. So that we can serve and help each other. You know, there's no way that our church could survive when you look around at who and what we are. We have nothing in common for the most part. We come from all walks of life, from all experiences, from all social stratums, and yet we work. It works. We get along. Because God's Spirit is with us. That is the common factor. And we have all given our life to God. And God knows that. And He rewards us and blesses us with His Spirit so that we can continue in that walk with Him. We have to sacrifice for each other. Because that's what Christ and God did for us. And that's a way of life. That as spirit beings we will live forever. Doing for others, giving to others, blessing others with the way God thinks. Listen to this beautiful verse in verse 16. We have known and believed the love that God has for us. We've experienced it. We see it in action here. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God. And God in him. God abides in us. What does that mean? And it says that we can abide in him. It's a relationship, brethren. He's talking about an eternal relationship that he wants to have with us. And we do that through God's Spirit. Because God's Spirit connects us to the spirit world. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. Romans 8, verse 35. God will always love us unconditionally. Romans 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Is that what we are, sheep for the slaughter? Innocently being led to death? Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors. And notice what it says now. How are we more than conquerors? Through him who loved us. We are in him. He is in us. And through him we are conquerors. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So, brethren, his love is unconditional. And nothing can separate it from us unless we turn our back and walk away. But God will still love us. We may just not be aware of it. Point two. The first point was God will always love us unconditionally. Point two is God will be with us and strengthen us in all our trials. Not just the bad ones. Not just the really, really difficult ones. Even the little ones. Even the little discomforts that come our way. Turn with me to Hebrews 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. When the times get rough, God doesn't disappear. When we're in the middle of something difficult, dangerous, depressing, sad, scary, God is with us. He's probably closer to us then than when we're on Easy Street. He does not leave us. He wants to be with us. He wants to help us. Because he knows the difficult times are when we need him the most. Verse 6. So we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I have God Almighty on my side, my friend, my Lord, my Master. And he loves me, and he will not leave me. So what I face, what I go through, what I endure, God is with me. He knows what's happening, and he'll only allow whatever happens, to work for my good. He didn't say it wouldn't be difficult. He didn't say we wouldn't have trouble. But he did say, I will always be with you. I will never forsake you. So if he is with us and we are struggling, he knows it. And we are struggling for a reason. And he will help us to the end. And we don't have anything to worry about. Nothing. God will always take care of us. The Holy Spirit makes that possible. The Holy Spirit connects us. The Holy Spirit strengthens us. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you will be able to bear it. So when you're going through a tough trial and you're ready to give up, realize how much you've grown. If God can allow you to go through a tough one, you have grown. You're a better man than you used to be, a better woman than you used to be. And God knows you can get through this, or he wouldn't let it happen. So no matter how tough it is, no matter how alone you feel, you can go to God. You should go to God. He wants you to go to him so that he can hold you, guide you, bless you, help you. I just had a trial a little while ago, and I was talking to God about it and told him, I said, I don't think I can take much more of this. I'm at my wit's end. And I don't know what happened, but everything cleared up. Everything cleared up. And I don't know how it happened. I don't know why it happened. I don't know. I just know the results. God took care of me. God delivered me. And he loves doing that for his children. He loves when we run to him with our arms open and say, Daddy, I need help. I'm struggling. I don't know what to do. Please help me, because you do. You know the answer. You know what's good for me. I trust you. I believe you. He will never, ever, ever let us down. God can't. He won't break a promise. He created us so that we could receive all that he has, all that he wants to give us, all the power that we have to do good comes from him and the Holy Spirit. And each of us is unique so that we can serve and help others as no one else can. Each of you has gifts from God that he gave each of you. Because he knows with your talents, with your personality, with your experiences, you are a valuable tool to other children of God. Only you can do what you can do in the way that you do it. Because you are unique. And God loves you for that uniqueness, for that special approach you have, for the things in your heart that make you, you. And he cherishes those. He loves how you communicate with him, and he loves to communicate with you because you are unique. Nobody is quite like you. And I know that Christ has probably told Father, aren't you glad there isn't another Dunham? One of those is quite enough for me. But he loves each of us for the good that we can bring to others of his children. Because he cares about everybody, those in the church and those out of the church. And what we have within ourselves can help bind this church together, can help make this group function successfully and be a light and a beacon to those in this community. Only you can do what you can do. Each of you could get up here and give the message I'm giving today, and you'd all give it differently. And it would be inspiring and helpful the way you debate it. Because you have different experiences, different talents, different skills, far better than mine. And God values that and cherishes that and wants to see you use it to help others of his children. We are God's little ones. But we have the promises of God. And the Holy Spirit makes it possible for us to live God's promises. What I mean by that, brethren, is we have to live love. We have to live the Ten Commandments. We have to live the same life that Christ led. The promises that he gave are our way of serving and giving to others, because he wants us to enact the very life that he lived. And he wants us to give through our unique life that way of life to others. I've tried helping certain people at different times in my life with issues that they brought to me, and struggled in prayer with God, trying to get them to understand what I was trying to say. And I could tell I wasn't getting through. And I kept praying and kept working on it. And then one day the person comes up to me and says, "I understand what you were saying." And he says, "Thank you, thank you." And he says, "Yeah, I talked to so-and-so and they made it all clear." God uses us to serve him. And sometimes we just don't get it ourselves. But he understood. The light came on when the right person had the right switch. And it weren't me. But that's okay. That's why you're all important. Because you all have different people that you click with. You all have different people that can say the very same thing in your unique way that turns the light on for somebody else. And it was a happy moment for me, because I was struggling, let me tell you. But God knows what each of us needs. And he knows who you can help, who you can inspire, who you can love in the right way that will inspire and help them. What a remarkable, remarkable opportunity God has blessed each of us with. Did I get to verse 4? Or did I, where am I at here? 1 Corinthians 10. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 1. Verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort." God has a unique ability to give each of us the comfort we need. And see, the way God works today is through his children. So if we aren't willing to let God guide us, we can miss opportunities to fulfill His purpose for us and others, because He may want us to help someone and we may be holding back. You never know who you can help unless you try to help everybody. Those that you don't get along with, those that you don't understand, those that rub you the wrong way, those that are old and you're young, or if you're old and they're young, try to help them. You don't know who God wants you to give your life to. So the answer to that is give your life to everybody. And then you'll make sure you don't miss the person God had for you. It's a beautiful life, brethren. And you know, when we pray and ask for things from God, understand that more than likely He's going to use somebody else to answer that prayer. That's the way God works today. Why does He work that way? Because that brings us together. We get to meet somebody new in a different way and get to understand them better and see the gifts they have and how their gift blessed us. And that builds a bond. And that strengthens the church. And because you helped them, they learned from you. And you got to know them better and love them more. And you got to understand some of the quirks they have. And you get to learn what makes them the person they are. Then you can pray more effectively for them. But that takes the willingness to share your life. And that isn't easy to do. But God wants us to, because if we will, we will be blessing others. And through that blessing, the church becomes stronger. And when we hear one of our brothers and sisters starting to say something not so nice about somebody else, we can walk away from that. Or we can say, you know, I'd rather not talk like that because I love that person. And they're a child of God. They belong to God. They are special to God. Therefore, they should be special to you and special to me. And that unites. That brings people together. We are God's children. The Holy Spirit makes it possible for us to live God's promises. Hebrews 12, verse 9. Hebrews 12, verse 9. One more page. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who have corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily subject ourselves to the Father of spirits and live? You know, God will have to correct us at times. At times we wander. Remember, we're sheep. We're not goats. At times we wander off and we crawl underneath the fence. And that grass really doesn't taste any better, does it? But it sure did look like it was going to. And God has to bring us back. And He does that by correcting us. And He does that and corrects us, not because He gets any pleasure out of it, but He does get pleasure out of the results of the correction, if we're humble and if we let God teach us. And through the correction, we see the error of our ways. And that's because God loves us. Because God wants us to be His children. So we will get correction. So when you're suffering, it's possible God is trying to teach you something. It may just happen by the roll of the dice, but there's still something you can learn. And even if it is happening by happenstance, God is still with you. God is still there. God is still guiding the events. that will give you the best result in your life. Promise 3. God will work out all things for good in our lives. This was a promise that I relied on several years ago when absolutely nothing was going right in my life. And yet it all did work out. Romans 8:28. And we know. It doesn't say, sometimes we think that all things work together, or it's possible that some things work together for good. No, it says, we know, brethren, that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. You understand what that's saying? We are called because He has a purpose for each of you and for me. A purpose. It wasn't a roll of the dice. You were chosen for a purpose. And how you find out what that purpose is by doing everything that's offered to you when you're in the church. If you're offered an opportunity to be in club, you take it. If you're offered an opportunity to clean the bathroom, you take it. If you're offered an opportunity to set up chairs, you do it. Because everything you do teaches you things. And sometimes everything you do teaches others things through your example. Sometimes you do things that serve you no purpose at all, but they benefit others. We can't think like humans. God wants us to think like God. Totally different. God doesn't ask what's in it for me. Christ didn't ask. If I go down there as a human and have my body torn apart, what's in it for me? Because He doesn't think that way. And neither should we. God's Spirit will always be with us, will always guide us, if we humble ourselves. It's not the Spirit doing all these things, it's God. But the Holy Spirit is the power that He uses. And I should have said that a long time ago, because the Holy Spirit doesn't think. It doesn't do anything independent of the Father, it's His power. It's God's will. And He shares it with us so that we can have His will, His power to do good inside of us. Because there is no good in us apart from God. We can do good things, but if we don't have God's Spirit, we're doing good things for a selfish reason. That doesn't mean good isn't done. But we don't know how to think like God thinks until God teaches us how He thinks. And when the world rejects the Ten Commandments, they've rejected how God thinks. And we haven't. Because we are God's children. And God loves us. And God promises us that it's all going to work out. God's promised us eternal life. And God has said He's going to reward us according to our works. Two other promises that I'm not going to go into because I've ran out of time. But please, brethren, know that God will always take care of us. He promised us. Know that the Holy Spirit makes it possible for us to live God's promises. And remember what He's promised. God will always love us unconditionally. God will be with us and strengthen us in all of our trials. God will work out all things for good in our life. Brethren, we have nothing to be afraid of. We have nothing to be remorseful about. We have nothing to be sad about. We need to rejoice because we have the promises of God and God's Holy Spirit to deliver us and to help us through every situation we face.